John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. And we welcome Cleo Pascal, a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. She has some serious explaining to do. I read the headlines in the CNN World Report. At least 22 Indian security personnel killed, KIA, in clash with Maoist insurgents. Subhead, at least 22 members of Indian security forces were killed and 31 injured on Sunday, just passed, during a four-hour gun battle with Maoist insurgents. Security forces in the central state of Chhattisgarh were conducting an operation against the left-wing insurgent group in the state's Bastar Division when one of the teams came under attack from the insurgents, this according to the chief of police in nearby Awasthi. I stop there. Cleo, a very good evening to you, but what, Maoist 2021? Completely out of time. Were they in a time machine and trying to get back to Beijing to run another revolution and they missed and wound up in India? How long have these Maoists been operating in the middle of India? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's been going on for decades, for at least around 50 years. And it flares up every now and then, but it seems like what's happened most recently may be the result of this kind of unrestricted warfare directed out of Beijing and quite possibly with logistical support through Pakistan. So there are these groups that exist, and they've been around for a while, but it seems like they're getting reinvigorated in part through this attempt to create this impression that India is unstable and you shouldn't move supply chains there, and to create enough internal fires in India so that it gets distracted from having to deal with the other problems it has on the border. So it's a huge tragedy. 22 men were killed. 22 Indian security forces were killed. A number of the Naxalites, of these Maoist guys, were also killed. A little bit unclear. But in terms of kind of the big picture, it's sort of in the same category as the attack on the iPhone parts manufacturing plant in Bengaluru, which also was seems to have been directed out of China to make India look unstable, as well as what's going on the border, as well as the cyber attack on the Mumbai grid. India is under attack via proxies across the board at the moment.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, on the night of June 15th of last year, China, in a sneak attack, killed 20 Indian soldiers. And that really changed the nature of discussions across India with regard to China. It crystallized things. 22 people died in this attack by the Maoist guerrillas. Will it have the same psychological effect, or does this happen all the time and so it's just going to be forgotten soon?
It doesn't happen all the time, thankfully, but it is part of a kind of what would normally be considered a separate narrative, a narrative around the inequity within Indian society. So unless there's, and interestingly, it's not really getting the major coverage in the Indian media that obviously the attack on the border got, because I think that they realize that it's part of this psychological warfare attack on India as well. And so by playing it up, it plays into the hands of the, you know, the terrorists and the people who are funding and logistically supporting the terrorists. There's a reason, if you haven't heard of the story, there's a reason you haven't heard of it, because if you hear about it, it means that it's given added impetus to the bad guys who are trying to accomplish, you know, a whole other psychological goal. And it's kind of interesting because at the same time, on Monday, both Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and U.S. climate envoy John Kerry arrived in Delhi. So it's not as if there isn't international media in India at the moment taking a look at large issues. And in fact, they were staying at the same hotel and accidentally just ran into each other, apparently, in the lobby or something. So there's a lot going on in India at the moment, and I think the control, not just for what's going on, but how to frame what's going on, is increasingly contested.
Cleo, how do we know they're Maoist? Do they shake the little red book? Do they have scars from the Cultural Revolution? I mean, it seems sentimental of them to declare themselves loyal to a man who's been gone, what now, 50 years, approaching 50 years, and has certainly been turned into what you'd have to say is a museum piece in Beijing. How is it that they present themselves as Maoists? Is it their statements? Are they understood as historians of the Chinese brutality? Are they Chinese and not Indians?
So they call themselves Maoists. Nothing is kind of hidden. But also, you know, India has Communist Party political groups. You know, the Communist Party is very strong in Kerala, for example, and around election time, you can drive down the roads and see hammer and sickle signs up on the walls. So there's a whole different political environment there that goes along with romanticization in part of, you know, their alleged non-alignment or, you know, positioning during the Cold War, all that kind of stuff. But they, you know, the true believers believe in Maoism, believe, you know, they can achieve through gun a classless society, which will be, better for the peasants. And I mean, all of that, they believe it. Little Red Book and everything. It hasn't gone away. And it hasn't gone away in the U.S. either. You know, we are seeing that sort of stuff resurrected in, street movements all over the place. So we can't think that this is something of the past, that because Mao is dead, Maoism is dead. That's absolutely not the case. And it's pernicious and extremely disconcerting.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, the Communist Party of India, the one that's open and contests elections and actually runs some state governments, does it have connections with Beijing?
To some degree. I mean, like a lot of, you know, good communists, they in some cases are extremely good capitalists as well. You know, you have to definitely keep an eye on the funding flows. And remember that, you know, it's not just Beijing that's involved here, it's Moscow that's involved here. And these are old, deep linkages. That's why we're still facing the situation where India might be buying the S-400 Russian weapons system, which could be such a disaster for high-tech U.S.-India military cooperation. Like, these things have not gone away. And the actual people involved are the same people. So if you're in a position of power in India now, if you're in your 60s or 70s, when you were a young man, and usually they're men, you probably would have gone to the Soviet Union for training or courses or things like that. If you were in the military, for example, joint training, and the Soviets would have shown you a very lovely time, and they would have kept track of you as you moved up through the system. So just because on the surface, you know, KGB isn't there anymore and it's the FSB or whatever, doesn't mean those files have disappeared. So understanding the continuity, the psychology is very important for seeing where the entry points are. And it might be a Russian entry point that's being used by the Chinese in order to accomplish their goals, as you see that Sino-Russian alliance getting closer.
The reports say that grenades and rocket launchers were used. In other words, the Maoists are extremely well armed and I guess operate to everybody's knowledge in the neighborhood. Is this not a concern to Modi? We have less than a minute. Doesn't he want to make this a national story that I'm going to clean this out? It was left over from my predecessors. We have less than a minute, Cleo.
Yeah, it's a big concern. It also plays into kind of the role of which institution within the Indian structure deals with this. Is this a police issue, a law and order issue, or is it a military issue? Currently, it's a police issue, and the military prefers it that way. So there's a lot of complexity to this, and they're often used to affect investment. They'll go into areas where investment might help increase the prosperity of the local population, which is something that Maoists don't want. And so they'll attack installations and make investment difficult. And that is, of course, what Modi has been prioritizing, which is to try to improve the Indian economy. So he's very aware of it. India has a lot of challenges, and a lot of them are not being caused by who you think they're being caused by. They're being caused by these outside forces, and not just through weapons, but through social media. It's a real challenge, and I think the Indians are certainly aware of it and are trying to fight it in the best ways that they can.
Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Gordon Chang, Kate Stone, Newsweek, and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.